Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. After several years of pleading for assistance to help them respond to rising demands for services, failing infrastructure, and flat revenue streams, North Carolina cities received a pair of early holiday gifts in recent weeks. Between the passage of a new state budget and President Biden's ambitious infrastructure package, billions of new dollars will soon be flowing to cities to aid in the construction and reconstruction of a host of vital structures, from crumbling water and sewer systems to degraded roads and bridges to broadband internet. Recently, I sat down to review some of the details of these packages with the interim executive director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities, Rose Vaughn Williams. Welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. I'm delighted to be here.
It's a time of great challenges, obviously, for municipalities across North Carolina, across the country with the pandemic, the demands on our infrastructure, all the challenges that came with lost revenues from the pandemic. That's an issue I think I've talked in the past with folks from the league about, is just the impact, at least initially, that the pandemic had on revenues at the municipal level. And I know there's been some federal assistance, some state assistance. How are municipalities faring right now? Are things trending in the right direction, or are we still facing enormous challenges?
Thank you for asking, Robin. You're exactly right. And when this first hit, the trends that we were seeing in sales tax were quite concerning. Those were some very long hours we were spending along with everybody else worrying and tracking and trying to do all that we could do and making the case to our political leaders in Washington and in the state General Assembly about the needs of cities. As you know, cities are the economic engines of the state, and as go cities, as goes the whole state. And in the last recession of 2007-08, we saw as the longer cities stayed down, the longer the whole state stayed down. Yeah. So that was a grave concern. What we were also facing pre-pandemic is still in place, and some other issues and concerns we had with utility and water infrastructure in the state as well. So these funds give us an opportunity for change and improvement. As they say, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. We have a lot of opportunity.
That's encouraging. So am I right to say that we've got the federal infrastructure package that's been passed, the bipartisan infrastructure that's actually become law. We also have had a new state budget here in North Carolina that also was marginally bipartisan. Is there aid to cities that will give you all some real prospects for improvement in both of those packages?
Absolutely. Yes.
Great.
Starting with the state budget in particular, I think legislative leaders really recognized and appreciated something that's not really talked about a lot by anybody because it's not interesting, it's not exciting, and it's something we all take for granted, which is our water utility infrastructure, and sewer. I mean, it's something for public health. We have to have it for business. We have to have it to live. It always just works. But the state budget recognizes that in North Carolina, particularly, and I may be jumping ahead, Rob, but
that's
in
okay.
Our rural areas, was facing pre-pandemic a problem of $26 billion over the next years that they were behind. As you know, the population and factories and mills have moved. It's moved away from the rural areas of North Carolina, but they left there large water infrastructure that was there for those factories and mills that the low population that's left can't afford to keep up. And without water, industry is never coming back. The economy can never come back. And of course, population is not going to come back. And in the meantime, we already had population moving to North Carolina so much. I used to always say it's like the entire state of Kansas was taking their luggage and moving to North Carolina by the year 2030.
Yes, I felt that way on the Beltline the other day.
We already had that. And now with COVID and you can work anywhere, we're also seeing an influx of population for that. So we had a great water utility need, and this state budget really does a lot to address that in a great way and will give a significant boost to infrastructure spending that not only is going to save rural parts of North Carolina in that regard, but give a way to build back for the future.
That's really encouraging. And I presume there's some money. Obviously, we've got a multi-trillion dollar relief coming from the federal government as well. I assume some of that money is going to filter to communities in need as well.
Exactly. And we're not sure quite yet how that money is going to flow. It's so early. But we do know we have a big hole here with transportation in North Carolina, and transportation spending in North Carolina. And this is going to go, and we're thankful to our state leaders for this money that comes to the state for water. We're grateful to our federal leaders in the United States Congress, the United States Senate for this infrastructure bill that will help begin to address the transportation problems that we have here in North Carolina, will help make us competitive once again. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, in North Carolina, cities maintain 22,000 miles of roads within their borders. It's the state and the cities who provide roads here. Mm-hmm. And so that's one reason this is so important. And we're facing a crisis already pre-pandemic because of lower gas usage and our reliance on the gas tax. And so the state's going to have to continue to work and figure out how we're going to replace those funds. And this gives us a chance to start building up some of those projects that need to be built and to help study in the meantime, get a grip on what we're going to do for the future.
And of course, related to all that, it just goes hand in glove with it, is the issue of climate change and resilience to climate change. I mean, we obviously, particularly in some of our lower lying areas, but really across the state with the increased intensity of storms, one senses that our physical infrastructure is just going to need to be more resilient, or we're going to be facing big problems throughout the state, or really throughout the country. And so I presume that's another area in which we really can look forward perhaps to making things a little more resilient in some of our communities.
You're exactly right, Rob. And that state budget does do this with a significant amount of funding. I think it gives $103.6 million for assistance for stormwater programs, mm-hmm. and $55 million to general storm resiliency and other water resource restoration assistance. And to your point, it will help the state, instead of just a huge recovery effort after a storm,
right.
It will help us prepare so maybe the recovery won't have to be so significant. If we have our ditches cleaned out, something as simple or basic seeming as that, get those drainage ditches clean, get everything in order, flooding will be less, damage will be less. So it can be on a very basic level. And this, I have to say, the state budget really recognizes that and gives us a chance to prepare in a better way than we have before to stay resilient.
We're talking with Rose Vaughn Williams, who's the interim executive director of the North Carolina League of Municipalities, about some of the helpful legislation that's actually come from Raleigh and Washington in recent days and weeks. Another area, obviously, that's of great importance to you all, that I also presume maybe there's some cause for optimism around, is broadband. There seems to now be this general bipartisan recognition that we're going to be leaving huge swaths of our population behind if we don't assure that everybody has access to broadband internet, something that a lot of us in urban areas take for granted, but that remains a huge challenge, especially in rural areas.
Absolutely. You named it. It's not profitable. These are private companies who provide this broadband. And it's obviously the farther apart homes are, the more expensive it is to extend the broadband to make that mm-hmm. connection. And so that is why we're suffering in the rural parts of the state. And this budget will give $1 billion toward broadband infrastructure. A lot of it goes to the internet service providers in hopes that they will use that to help make that more profitable. I will say cities and towns have long hoped for the ability not to provide the cable themselves, but simply to rent our infrastructure we already have under the ground in some cases.
Sure.
That's just sitting there that could save some costs for a broadband provider to come in. And we really wanted to clarify that old Level the Playing Field Act so that we could clearly and easily as cities rent that. But we're still very grateful and excited and pleased about this broadband investment.
Another issue, of course, that's been debated here in North Carolina, I don't know if this affects cities per se so much, is the Medicaid expansion debate. That's been going on now for years and years in the state. It seemed perhaps at one point during the recent session that maybe Medicaid expansion, which we know would help a lot of rural hospitals, was going to be a part of the final deal, but ultimately was not. The legislature still says they're going to study it some more. I don't know if that's an issue. I know the League of Municipalities is obviously a big tent. Y'all have members of both political parties, but I wonder if that's an issue y'all have been following or have any interest in at all?
Well, of course, anything that affects our city residents, it affects everyone, and we care about all of that. Medicaid sure. expansion was not one of the top legislative priorities, as sure. it was not technically a municipal issue,
right.
but it's something, of course, we care about and are interested in and follow, but it is not something we've been hugely involved in. I would say these other goals with the broadband, the water, stormwater, storm resistance and resiliency, and utility infrastructure and transportation infrastructure are more of the primary goals. But absolutely, of course, everything hinged on that as well. I think a lot of the discussion of whether the governor would sign the budget or not hinged on that. And as everyone said, the budget is, it's not perfect. No one is completely happy with it, but it was had a lot more good than bad, those who opposed some things, and it said. And so it did get signed. And with that signing, the governor and the General Assembly were able to appropriate billions of dollars of the American Rescue Plan money that had been given to them by the federal government.
It's probably worth noting that one of the very encouraging things that's happened is, as a result of the federal government's swift action over the last couple of years, is that really, as compared to the last great recession that hit us at the end of that, the 2000 decade, we've had a pretty quick turnaround for a much quicker turnaround in the economy. It seems that things are on the upswing, and I suppose that that obviously benefits cities as well as the residents of those cities going forward.
100, yes, Rob, 100%. It's in the figures. We can see it. We can see it in the graphs as that money began to come in from the CARES Act that came first. It was a huge save that was a necessary save. And city leaders from around the state were on the phone with our congressional leaders in Zoom roundtables. We were on Zoom meetings. It was an interesting thing when it all happened. I've never spoken to caucuses of the General Assembly on Zoom, obviously. And it, in a way, it added more access than what we might have had otherwise. Yeah. And so that quick relief, to your point, made a difference. And it was very significant.
We're coming to the end of our time, but I guess I should ask, what's up next? What's it look like for 2022? What's on the horizon?
The most important thing now is with this American Rescue Plan funding that's come in, we want to be sure our cities, as they get this money, we've encouraged them, first off, to hold off on making decisions right now. We want the final rules and regulations from the feds, but we also want them to have time to make the significant transformational investment decisions that they need to make. We're also encouraging them to work together, and we're hosting regional meetings around the state to work with their county, to work with other cities, so that they can really augment that investment and make it even bigger. So with the CARES Act money, it was kind of a race to get it out there as fast as possible. With the American Rescue Plan funds, it's kind of an opportunity to take your time and to really plan. When we look back on these investments later, what will we see? And I just remember, you know, my grandmother and mother talking about after the Depression, you know, those investments that were made, this was made by that. This was, we will look at it and know that that was a good thing. And hopefully it was the right thing. And so we'll be working with our cities and towns to make sure we can do the best we can to help our economies and our people.
It's vitally important work. Thanks so much for doing it. We really appreciate the update. We perhaps we'll catch up in the new year and hear about some successes that you all had in implementing such a thoughtful approach to this challenge. Thanks so much for all you do, Rose. It's great to have
you. It's my pleasure. Thank you, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. From producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.